All right, so let's go on to tonight's lecture, which is, I'm calling it, the textbook calls it, I forget what the textbook calls it. What is, does anybody know right offhand? Does anybody remember? Oh, the textbook calls them uninformed and informed searches. Okay, but I find that to be unhelpful because it's not clear what information is going on. So I prefer to think of them as unbiased and biased searches. Right? And we sort of indicated why that's a useful way to think about it. This pick is unbiased. It will just pick arbitrarily. And what we'd like to do in order for this pick in behavior to be useful is to bias it so that it never ignores a path. Right, which is not arbitrary anymore, right? Arbitrary means you can just pick anyone you want and it doesn't matter. But in this case, we would actually like it to be biased to favor the paths that have been in the frontier the longest, right? The oldest paths. So, the way I like to think of it is unbiased searches, searches that impose no bias, and then biased searches that do impose some sort of favoritism on the nodes. But if you think about it, all the things that we're going to look at impose bias. So perhaps that wasn't the wisest choice of words, but it was the choice that I used. All right, so we've indicated some problems here with this. One of them is that it may fail to find a goal that exists. Another problem is that it's expensive. Even if we have a fair pick, the only thing we're claiming is that eventually it will visit every path in the frontier. But in the meantime, it could be garbaging at the frontier with all kinds of paths that don't matter. So it could take up a tremendous amount of space. So the GSA has a lot of unfortunate advantages. It may fail. It may fail to find goals, as we indicated over there, when goals actually exist. It's expensive. And it's expensive in success or failure. It's just an expensive running algorithm. And in addition, it may fail if you are interested not only in the existence of a goal, but also properties of the path. For example, you're interested in finding the cheapest path to the goal. Okay? Then this algorithm is also going to fail there, too, because it's just going to return the first path it finds, and you really can't say anything about the nature of that path because it depends on the order in which things were picked, but they're picked in arbitrary order. So it may return suboptimal solutions. If you're looking for a least cost path or maybe some maximum amount of I don't know what, but alright, so you may actually return a path that's a success. It gets you to the goal state, but it doesn't get you in the goal state in the way you want to get there. So what we need to do is we need to improve the GSA in order to be able to have these nice properties. It not be so expensive, it doesn't fail when a goal actually exists, and it produces solutions that have nice properties that we would like those solutions to exhibit, in addition to the fact that it actually solves the problem. And the question is, how are we going to do that? And the answer is, we are going to impose an ordering, and of course all this stems from this pick thing here. This notion that we have arbitrarily picking from the frontier. So what we're going to do is we're going to, in a sense, tame the frontier and impose order on the way that we pick. Alright, so no longer is the frontier going to be a set. We're going to replace the frontier with other data structures. And that's essentially all we're going to do. And so we still maintain the shape of the GSA algorithm, it's just that we change the frontier. Which is why it was important to understand how the GSA algorithm works. Okay, so any suggestions? Given a state space graph like this one, although this one's actually kind of simple, what kind of organization would you like to impose, or does it make sense to impose, or what seems obvious to impose on the elements of the frontier? What is an obvious sort of path to think about?
Is it every path in the frontier?
Yes, that's true. That's what we want to do, but that's what this does. That's what the GSA does. It visits every path. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, that's correct, but how? How are we going to do that? We clearly can't do that with the frontier being a set unless we impose this fairness condition. But then the question is, how do you impose fairness? So what's another... All right, let's just think about general search techniques, general search approaches. How would you just search this graph in terms of how you would visit the nodes? And again, just think in terms of graphs. So what would you do? Well, you'd visit the start. And at this point, I'm going to just assume that we have one start node. Now, of course, you could have multiple start nodes and start states. You could have multiple start states and you just essentially do the same thing that I'm talking about with respect to one. So the extension to multiple, I will leave it up to you. So we visit the start state. Well, that's not a goal state, so what do we do? Okay, so the other possibility then, and when we do that, what's the result of that? You're right, but what's the result of that? Let's assume that we don't. Let's just assume the goal state is way the hell out there someplace. So we're going to have to crank through quite a few nodes, states, before we find it.
We'll add new states in the frontier.
Right, but the question, that's what we do over here. Yeah. But we need an order to do it. We need to impose an order. Here we don't impose an order, so we need to pick an obvious order. And what would be an example of an obvious order?
Visit all the child...
Exactly. Visit all... the start state, right? So we visit all the start state children. Let's assume that none of them are goal states. Now what? How do we continue this pattern? We only have a half hour left. We got a lot to cover. You're going to have to speak much more quickly. Visit the children of the children of the start state. Those are the grandchildren. We visit the start state. That doesn't work. We visit the children of the start state. That doesn't work. We visit the grandchildren of the start state. That doesn't work. Next. Visit the grand-grandchildren. Right. So we just keep going down. And eventually we'll hit a goal state and then we can stop. So what does this look like as a search? What's happening here? We're doing that over there too. How does this particular pattern differ from that? How does this particular representation differ from what GSA does? Right. And my question is, what does that look like as a search? So we start at the start state, right? And then that fails. So what do? We examine the children. And all of those fail. And then what do? We examine the grandchildren. And all of those fail. And then what do? We examine the great-grandchildren. And all those fail. And then what do? So what are we doing? We are essentially starting at the start state and then expanding out in rings. Okay, the way I like to think of it is you throw a pebble in a lake. Right, the pebble lands, and then the rings, the wake spreads from the landing point in a circle, and we're essentially doing the same thing here. Okay, this is an organized approach to doing search, which essentially says pick the nodes that are closest to the start state as the next node to examine. Okay, so that seems like it might be nice, but can we even do this? Is there a data structure that will allow us to do this? Clearly we can't do this with a set, because the set doesn't necessarily respect this distance, so we need another data structure. And what is that? No, you can't do it with a stack. Queue. So if we replace the frontier... the frontier is initially a set. If we replace that with a queue, then we get this behavior. Because what happens? Well, we come over here to our GSA algorithm, and here what you would do is, rather than just put it in the set, you would enqueue it. Okay. And what does that do? Well, it does this. So the frontier now looks like this. Okay. It's a queue, so everything's in a line. And the first element is the start state. What does this get replaced by? We're not doing a pick anymore. What are we doing?
Putting
in a queue. No, this is, we're taking something out. How do we take something out of a queue? Dequeue it. Right? So this essentially will become dequeue. So what happens here when we dequeue this? Well, no, I mean, here's the queue. What happens when we dequeue on this queue? What do you get? There's only one node. What there's only one state. What state do you get? No, it's not empty. The queue becomes empty, but my question is, what do you get when you dequeue from this queue? You get the start state, right? You get S, right? S is not a goal state, so what do? Right, we enqueue the children. So we have, let's say, two children. So there's one child, there's another child. Now what do? We go around the loop. We dequeue, what do we get? We get a child. The child is not the goal state, so what happens? Right, you enqueue the grandchildren, right? Because this is a child of the start state. So you enqueue the child of the child, which is the grandchild of the start state. So here let's assume we have two. So we enqueue a grandchild and a grandchild. And this is gone, right? So now what do? You dequeue the child here. And that's not a goal state, so what do? We enqueue the children of the children, which is the grandchild. Right, so you can see that if I use a queue, I maintain the order of the states based on the distance from the start node, where the distance here is measured in the number of grands that you put in front of your child. Okay? So if we replace the set with a queue and do the appropriate add and remove operations, then we turn the generic search algorithm into, from your readings, which you've been doing, what's the name of this search? It is no longer a generic search. Generic search uses a set. It's an unbiased search, but it's a particular kind of unbiased search. Breadth-first search. So this, when we replace the set with a queue, we get a breadth-first search. And this is the way I like to think about it, but it's a little hard to see why it's called breadth first. So the other way to think about it is to think in terms of a tree, right? So we have at the top of the tree this start node, and then we have underneath that the children of the start node, and then underneath that we have the grandchildren of the start node. And then underneath that, we have the great-grandchildren, and so on and so forth. All right, so now, with this picture, which is more or less equivalent to this picture, what does the queue look like? What do the sequence of nodes visited look like? Yeah, it's a tree, but how do I traverse this tree using this algorithm, breadth-first search? What does the pattern look like? Exactly. So I visit this node first, and that fails, and then what do? I push the children on the queue, and then I visit the queue in this order. So I visit across here, and each one of these fails, and when each one of these fails, I push the children of the failing node on the queue. So then when I'm done with this one, I have all of these, so I essentially visit them in this order, and this is where the notion of breadth comes in. You search across the siblings, all right? Except in this case, you're looking at cousins and so forth. But you're essentially going across the levels, and that's why it's called breadth-first search. I prefer to think of it this way because it's a lot more poetic, but you can think of it this way because they call it breadth-first as opposed to ring-out search. Okay? Now, so what? Why is this good? So what? What does this mean? By imposing this ordering on the sequence of nodes visited in the frontier, sequence of states visited in the frontier, what happens? Well, the first question we should ask is, does this work? Do we change the ability to find a goal state, assuming that a goal state exists? Will this find a goal state?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, because essentially it's just GSA, and we have removed the GSA problem of unfortunate choice. Right? Notice that it's not possible to get stuck constantly picking let's consider it. Let's look here. So what does the let's look at this particular example, which gave us problems in general, the generic search algorithm. Let's look at this particular example with respect to breadth-first search. All right, what does the frontier start off looking like? Starts off looking like S, and then what does the frontier look like? It becomes, well, we take S. S is not a goal state. We look at the children, so it becomes S and 1. Okay, and then we look at S and 1, and that's not a goal state, so we go to S and 2. Okay, we look at S and 2, and that's not a goal state. We look at S and 3. We look at 3. 3 is not a goal state, so we look at the children of 3, which is 1 and G. So we have S, 1, and S, G. Okay, now, S of 1, we pick S of 1, which causes problems with GSA. But again, 1 is not a goal state, right? So what do we do? Well, no, because, again, remember our algorithm here. What do we do? Again, what's the neighbor of 1? 2. So we put S1, 2 on the frontier, but where does it go on the frontier? Where does it go on the frontier? It's a cube. Where does it go? Again, data structures. You're supposed to know this walking into this class. Where does it go? No, we're adding to the queue. Where does it go? Again, you need to know this. You're expected to know this walking in. Where does it go? Goes at the end of the queue. And then what? Then we dequeue the head of the queue, which is SG. G is a goal state. We're done. So, in fact, this will avoid the problem of getting caught in an infinite loop. So it will, in fact, find, so, and this is a usually abbreviated breadth-first search. Okay, so properties. It will find goal states. But there's actually something else interesting. In addition to saying that it finds a goal state, you can say something even stronger. And what is that? It's related to this property or this property, either one. What can you say about the goal state that breadth-first search finds? Well, don't say that. But you're right. Don't say optimal. Just smallest means what? Give me a more precise definition of what it means to be smallest.
Smallest path.
Right. It is the closest goal to the start state. Okay, now that may in fact be optimal. If you're interested, for example, in the number of steps it takes to go from the start state to the goal state, then that's correct. It's optimal. Okay, but there are other cases where it may not be optimal. For example, if you're interested in the number of if you're interested in the cost, I'll just leave it at that. So it does find goal states. It does find the goal states. It does find the shortest path from the goal state to the start state, or actually probably should say that in the opposite direction. It will find a goal. Even if you have an infinite graph, state graph, it will find the goal eventually. So these are positives. And actually, there's another question here, which we can now consider. And where was that question? What is forward branching and backward branching? So now we can deal with this question. An interesting question is, how big does the queue get? How big can the queue grow? And how would we figure that out? How would we answer that question? How big would the queue grow? Well, I'll just tell you, because we're running out of time. The queue grows exponentially. Okay, and again, you're supposed to understand what it means when I tell you that there's worst-case exponential growth on the queue walking in here. This is from data structures. So again, you're supposed to know this. Now, the question is, why is that? Why does the queue grow exponentially? And this is related to the idea of this backwards and for. Actually, their terminology is strange. It's not the terminology that I use. So let me read that question again. Where was it? So the question of backwards and forward branching. First of all, we need to figure out what that is. So who can tell me what backwards and forwards branching is? What does that indicate about a particular state in the state space graph? So here's a state from a state space graph. Okay, what is the forward branching factor? First of all, the forward branching factor is a number, and that number is the number of edges that are leading from this node. So these are the number of edges that point away from this node. Okay? In other words, you're moving forward through the graph, is one way to think about it. I prefer another term for this that I prefer to use is called fan out. Okay? Again, same principle. You're at a node and then you're going away from the node. You're going out from the node. And the question is, how many different ways can I do that? So in this case, the forward branching factor is 3. Now, with that in mind, what is backward branching factor? What's the backward branching factor? Exactly. The number of edges that point at that particular node. In other words, if you're at this node and you follow this edge backwards, which you're technically not supposed to do, that's why it's called the backward branching factor. And the term that I like to use for this is called fan in. And in this case, let's make it different. The backward branching factor, or the fan in, is 4. Okay, what is the backward branching factor for the root of a tree? It's 0 because there are no nodes pointing to the root. That's why it's the root. And what is the forward branching factor for the leaves in a tree?
0.
Also 0 because there are no nodes following the leaves because they're leaves. They have no children. Okay, so that's what the forward and the backward branching factor is. So what? Why are we talking about this? What does this have to do with this question of exponential growth? How is the queue manipulated? And let's assume that we are not finding goal states, because, of course, if we find a goal state, everything's done and we don't care. So we're not finding goal states. How is the queue manipulated? I'm just asking, how is the queue manipulated? Looking at the queue, we're talking about the size of the queue. How does the queue size change as we go through breadth-first search? Can anybody tell me how the queue is manipulated with respect to the algorithm, the breadth-first search algorithm? You take a state off the queue. That state is not a goal state, so what do? You put children on the queue. Okay? Now, if you have a positive branching factor, let's say 2 or 3, what are you doing? You're taking off one state from the queue and you're adding 2 or 3 or 4 or more. And you're doing that each time you remove a state from the queue, right? That is a multiplicative increase. So the queue is increasing exponentially. Just try it. Just assume that every node has 3 children and then look how the queue grows, right? It grows exponentially. So that's why you have exponential growth. And that's not particularly good, because if you have a big graph and you have nodes that are like, if you have goal states that are really far away, then this queue is going to get very big. On the other hand, if you know that the goal states are pretty close to the start states, then breadth-first search is fine to use because you're not going to go that far. You're going to hit the first goal state and stop. And if that's close, then the queue is not going to grow that big. And it has no problems with infinite and cyclic graphs. Right, we did the example of a cyclic graph over there, and the infinite graph, I sort of waved my hands, but you should be able to see how that goes. Okay? All right, so that's breadth-first search. Now, I would like to improve on breadth-first search somehow. And the question is, how can we do that? So what is another obvious pattern that we can use to search that's similar to breadth-first search? And you can answer this question 2 ways. You can look at the example that I gave over there and try and generalize it, or you can just recognize that, well, if we replace a set with a Q, we can also replace a set with a and when we do that, what do we get? So what's the next way that we can deal with our generic search algorithm to make it a little bit more applicable? And I should say that Of course, as I suspect you're all aware, breadth-first search is indeed a legitimate search algorithm that gets used in lots of different places. So what other kind of possibility might exist? A third way to think about it is to look at this picture. Well, what are we doing? Or look at this picture, either one. What's the search pattern in this picture? Well, we start at this level and search everything here. Then we start at this level and search everything here. And then we go down to the next lower level and search everything here. What's an alternative way to search?
All the training spots.
We do that here.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You search all the children in a single path, like...
Right, so you're saying rather than go across the graph, dive down. Exactly. So another possibility is to visit the start. Okay. Then you fail there, so you visit a child. Right. The child fails, and then you just immediately visit a grandchild. And so on and so forth, and you just keep going and going and going. Now, the question is, what data structure will let me do this? And we've already answered that. It's a stack. So we can essentially get this behavior by replacing the set with a stack. Right, so we have a frontier stack. So this becomes, how do I remove something from a stack? You pop it. And how do I add to a stack? You push. Right, exactly. Now, there's something odd about this, and what is it? Oops, we're running out of time, so I'll tell you. What happens if I don't have any children? So I'm at a node, it's not a goal state, and I don't have any children. Now what? What do I do? I'm at a non-goal state. I'm at a non-goal state, and there's no children. And that looks like this. So I have a state. This is a non-goal state. So I visit the child. I visit the child. And boom, this is a non-goal state. I have no children. Now what? What happens? So this is not a goal state. What happens next? There are no children here. So what happens? Right, but the question is, how does that happen? Right, it happens because this is a stack.
Yeah.
Right, and this is what's known as backtracking, first of all. First of all, what we're doing is we're going back to a parent and we're revisiting other children. So that going back to the parent is known as backtracking. And sometimes you will hear depth-first search being referred to as a backtracking search. All right, that's the first thing. And then once you're at the parent, you search other children. Now, suppose you've searched all the children of that parent, and none of them are goal states. Then what happens? Then you backtrack again to the grandparent and so forth and so on. All right, so that's how backtracking works. Now, the second thing is, how do we do this? How do we get this kind of behavior? Well, that's a property of the stack, and you'll have to figure that out because we're out of time.